if, oh sorry, basically I is pivotal for the people before it in Pi, right? And then you say I is pivotal for the permutation. So basically, again, it will link the people before it, turning from a user set into a winning set, right? Okay, so this is I's usage. Okay, now in simple game, this player I, sharply value, basically is equal to the probability I is pivotal for a random permutation, right? So any permutation, you give it to me, and then let's check when I will be pivotal in this case, right? If yes, then I say, this I will make one contribution, and then I add up all the cases, right? It becomes a probability. For example, for 10 cases out of 100, I is pivotal, right? Now, it becomes 10 over 100, it becomes 0.1, right? So this is the probability I will make people before it become a winning set. Okay. Now, this one usually is used to measure the voting power of a certain player, right? And then people will say, oh, because this player is very useful, right? And then probably they will try to persuade this player more in order to make their own group win the game. Okay. And also because of this, right? Because of this, sharply valued source is used to measure the power in different voting bodies, right? Okay. So this is about weighted voting game by defining this kind of pivotal player, right? Pivotal player. All right. So just now, what we talked about is the so-called TU game, transferable utility game. In other words, you can the one coalition. They produce some money, right, some value, and they can distribute value among the members in an arbitrary way, right? But sometimes you cannot do that, right? So sometimes the coalition, the value generator, it has a fixed pattern to be allocated to members in the coalition, all right? Okay, giving to the coalition the share, right? Instead of sharing among the players, now the coalition value generated by it can only be given to individuals. They cannot be transferred, right? Okay. In other words, we are using one example here. Suppose you have two people, X and Y, right? They can perform action A or action B. And then when they perform action A, X will get $1, Y will get $6. If they perform action B, then X will get $4, Y get $2. Now remember that in the last lecture actually, the farmer's game, right? In the farmer's game, what do we say? We say they can either grow orange or grow apple. And then when it is a transferable utility game, then basically you don't need to care a bit about which strategy you take. Whether they grow orange or grow apple, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how much money they can get, right? They always go for the best action, right? Getting the most amount of money, because that money can be divided among the members. So the more money, of course, the better, right? But here, it's different. We still have two strategies here. We cannot say A dominated B or B dominated B because B dominated A. Because you see, in these two strategies, strategy A, for Y, it's better, because Y can get $6 better than 2. But for X, B is better, because in B, X can get $4, but in A, they can only get 1. So basically, different people, they will consider different strategies to be best, right? Instead of one single strategy. Alright? Okay, so actually we have an even better example on the next page about writing academic papers. Alright? So you can see that there are many scholars in the world, and sometimes they will collaborate with each other. So when people collaborate on some scientific papers, then what happens? Now, you can consider each paper, it has some value for sure, right? For example, this paper is a winning paper of certain award, etc. And then this paper will add value to the members for sure, right? But this value, can it be given to the members in an arbitrary way? That's a question, right? So you can say, oh, a paper generates $1,000, and I can give arbitrary amount of dollars to the co-authors of the paper. Can you do that? Actually, no. All right? Okay? good option. Alright? For example, there's somebody from Oxford, somebody from Columbia, etc. Okay? So each individual university will have some reward system to the faculty, right? So write one paper, okay, then this university says, okay, I will give you promotion, alright, if you have several such papers, right? Okay, good, one thing. Another thing is, maybe because you produce a lot of papers, then you can teach one less course every semester, right? So much, okay, become zero. Anyway, there will be some implication, right? Promotion, as I said, and some bonus, some university give bonus, that one paper, $1,000, but this is too little, okay, so maybe, and there will be some money, possibly, in some universities, right? And there could also be teaching load reduction, right? As I mentioned, it could be originally it's 1 year, 3 courses, and now become 1 year, 2 courses, etc. Alright? Okay. So these individual benefits, can one person say, oh, to my co-author, alright, I got a promotion. I give half the promotion to you. Okay, can you say that? No. He cannot affect the decision of another university, right? Okay, so this kind of thing is not transferable, even though it's real benefit, right? It's not transferable. Also, not to say teaching load reduction, right? I have one less course to teach. Can I say, can I request for half course less, and then the other course and also half course less? You don't have this kind of negotiation power with another university, right? That's definitely not going to happen. All right, so you see that the non-transferable utility gain is also widely existing in our daily life, right? Okay, so in this case, we will introduce a special kind of gain called hedonic gain. Now, actually, hedonic gain is very interesting. Basically, in hedonic gain, every player, it will just tell you which coalition it likes best, and which coalition second, and which coalition third. So every player will rank the coalitions, because whenever a coalition fixes, then this player's gain is also fixed. For example, coalition 1, 2, 3, and then it's fixed that one player 1 will get, say, $10 from this coalition. Right? It's fixed. So basically the player knows exactly which coalition is best for himself or herself, because he exactly knows how much money, how much value he can get from that coalition. So then he can order up. This one I like best, this one second, this one third. Alright? Okay. So, more formally, every coalition only has one action. Right? Because it only has one action, you know exactly how much each player will get. Right? Because if you have two actions, then it's likely that the action 1, player 1 get $2, action 2, player 1 get $4, right? So even if you fix the coalition, player 1's money is fixed. Okay? But if you only have one action for each coalition, then every player's gain is fixed for any coalition, right? And then the player can order these coalitions from best to worst, right? Okay? Now, in this case, this kind of game, we call it hedonic game. And then here's one example. Right? Each player will just rank all the coalitions. For example, player 1 says, I like 1-2 better than 1-3. And 1-3 better than all three people together. And all three people together better than myself. Okay? So this is what 1 will do. Okay? And then 2 will do similar things, right? 2 will also rank all the coalitions he or she can belong to. Right? 3. Also the same. Alright. So, in coalition, in the hedonic game, sometimes, because we want 2 things, stability and fairness. But for hedonic game, the stability is not guaranteed. In other words, it's possible that hedonic game does not have a lot. Press the wrong button. Okay? Now, again, we can define core, right? So what is a core? Core means no group of players, S, can go out and form one coalition, such that every member of this group, S, likes this S better than their they're already assigned coalition. And then we say S will go obedient, right? But if there's no such S possible, then we say it is a goal. Alright? There is no S possible. No matter which subset you drag out, it's not possible that everyone thinks this is better than before. Alright? It's not possible. Then we say the whole thing is stable. Alright? It's a call. Now, what he don't indicate, unfortunately, call can be empty. Right? So here's one example. You can look at an example for a moment, and then we'll explain very soon why this one has no call. In order to say there's no core, a safe way is to say no matter which coalition structure you adopt, it is not stable, right? Somebody is going to deviate, right? So let's see. For example, if you put everything together, is it stable? No, right? Because you see, everyone hates to be all together, right? Okay? So no matter how you deviate, it's better than all together. How about if you put everything as individuals, do not collaborate with each other? Is it good? Well, again, it's not good because you see, one, two, right? One likes one, two. Two likes one, two. Better than individual, right? So they two will go out and form a group, right? Okay, so again, it's not stable. Now, the only remaining coalition structure is what? One, two, three, right? One, three, two, and two, three, one, right? There are only three remaining. So let's see whether they are stable. For example, 1, 2, 3, right? 1, 2 together, 3 individual. Is it good? Well, of course, for 1 is very good, right? 1, 2 is on top, right? 1 is not going to deviate. How about 2? You say 2 is okay with 1, 2, but it likes 2, 3 more, right? Okay? And 3 also like 2, 3 more than being alone. So 2 and 3 will go out, right? They will both benefit. And then, if it's 2, 3, and 1 individual, is it good? Now again, for 2 it's very good, but for 3, it says, okay, I like 3, 1 better than 3, 2. Right? So 3 would rather join with 1, and 1 also like 1, 3 better than 1, right? Okay? So 1 and 3 will go out. Now, let me say 1, 3, and 2, is it okay? Well, for 3 it's good, because 1, 3, 1 is top, right? But for 1, see, 1, 2 is better than 1, 3. So 1 says, now I'm going to join 2. We are better, right? Okay, so see, there's a cycle, right? In this, 1, 2 will deviate. And this, 2, 3 will deviate. This, 3, 1 will deviate, right? Okay, so this is the triangle relationship, which will never end, right? Keep improving. So nothing is stable, right? Okay. Well, so you see, it's not so good. It's not stable, right? Then what can we do? Well, so now we are going to talk about something where the stable solution can exist. Okay? Now, this is a very big class of games. Alright, so let's first introduce the game. So, in this game, we have a set of men and women. Okay? You have N man and N women. And then every member, they will rank the members of the opposite sex. Okay, so men will rank all the women, and then one woman will rank all the men. Okay, so basically, it's a dual ranking, right? People here rank people there rank people here. Okay, so again, very, very standard scenario. Okay? Now, one example here, we have three men, Ian, Joanna, and Kyle, the three women, Amy, Bella, Claire. Okay, so if men's table, Ian ranked Amy first,
Bella next, Claire third. Okay, so we have certain ranking like this. And for women's side, it's similar. Amy ranked John first, Ian next, and Kyle last, etc. Okay, so you see that in these two tables, two people are very unlucky. One is, wrong button again. One is Claire, right? So it's the third choice for every man, right? And then there's a similar person here. It's the last choice for every woman, right? Okay. Now, somehow you will have a feeling these two probably will be together. Okay, so you'll see very soon. Okay. Well, now, how to solve this problem, right? How do you do the matching such that it's stable, right? Because what we want is stable, right? Because in the Hedonic game scenario, we already see it's not stable, right? Sometimes there's a cycle, right? No stable solution. But how about stable, so the matching problem? Can we find stable solution? Okay, now, then what kind of solution are we finding? We are finding some solution called perfect matching. What is perfect matching? You know, we have N men and women, right? Okay, now of course, perfect matching says you match every woman and man. So basically, you link this man with this woman, this man with this woman, this man with this woman. Anyway, in the end, every man is matched. Every woman is also matched. Okay? So nobody is left in the final solution. Okay? Everyone is okay. Finally, anyone has a partner, right? So no one is very unhappy. Okay. So this is the definition, right? So every man appears in your matching. Every woman also appears in your matching. Appearing in matching means what? It means that it appears in animals in one pair. Alright? You cannot say I match one man with two women, that's not allowed. Alright? So it's a one-to-one matching. Alright? One-to-one matching where nobody is left unmatched. Okay? So that's the definition of perfect matching. Perfect matching says your matching size, right? The number of pairs you find is equal to n. Alright? No question, no problem, right? Okay, now here again I give you one example where Ian is matched to Claire, John is matched to Bella, Kyle is matched to Amy. Right? So on the other table you can see similar thing, or same partners as table one. Alright? Okay. Now here is so the matching here is IC, I with C, right? J with B, K with A, right? So this is one perfect match. But this matching is not good. Why? Which person do you want? Well, I can choose AB, right? And AB can choose Ian, which is better than before, right? Both new partner is better than before. And then you see Ian and AB, in this matching, they are not happy because they have a better partner who likes each other more, right? Okay? So this is also the intention to study the unstableness in the submatching, okay? So in submatching, it's not stable because there are two people at least. They like each other better than their current partner, right? Okay? So, it can happen, right? It can happen. But, so this is exactly what we are talking about. If you have one man and a woman, right? This man prefers W to his current partner in S. And this woman prefers M to her current partner in S. And then this MW pair, we call it unstable pair. Right? This one. Unstable pair. Alright? And then later on in the next lecture after the term, we also talk about matching more. And there we call it the so-called blocking pair. Because this pair is blocking your solution to be stable. It's blocking. Okay? Alright, so other than Ian and Amy, Bella, even Ian and Bella is also a unstable pair, right? So Ian can choose Bella, Bella can choose Ian, which is better than John, right? Okay, so this solution, in this matching. Alright, so what is stable matching then? Very easy. It's a matching where there's no unstable pairs, right? No matter which pair you take out, it cannot be the case that they like each other better. It can only be the case that this person likes this one better, but this one saying, oh, no, no, I will not go out, right? My current partner is better than you, okay? So, a perfect matching with no unstable pairs is called a stable matching, alright? Okay? Now, our stable matching problem says, I give you a preference of N men and N women, please find a stable matching. Okay? Now here, there's one stable matching. Ian matched with Amy, John matched with Bella, and Kyle matched with Claire. Okay, you see that in the stable matching, it's very, very safe that Kyle matched with Claire because they can... people will not like any of them better than their current partner. So you match the least wanted, at least wanted, well, that's very stable pair, right? That was a pair, and they're stable matching. Okay? So this is one possible stable matching. And then you can take some time to check whether it is indeed stable. For example, you can say, is it possible that, well, actually, no matching group, because Ian is assigned to Amy, right? So Ian will not deviate, right? Ian cannot belong to any unstable pair. Because he already has the best partner, right? Okay? John also will not deviate, right? Okay? Similar. Now, will Kyle deviate? Of course, because now he's the last choice, right? So Kyle says, oh, can I choose Amy, right? Which is better. Amy says, no, you are my last choice, right? My current partner is better than you. So basically, no man can be involved in any unstable pair, right? Either they already got the best choice, or their partner will not choose them, right? Because the person is the last choice of their partner, right? So, here, it's stable, right? Okay. Now, actually, you can also understand stable game as hedonic game. Then you may feel a bit surprised. Hedonic game? Hedonic game is talking about what? Ranking coalition, right? Do we have coalition here? It seems not. But actually, we can, alright? So, we need to we can model this stable matching problem into a hedonic game where each player has certain preference over different coalition. For example, each man, they prefer being alone to any coalition not of this format. Okay? You can have many coalitions, many people, or men, or etc., or many men. No, these is not as good as being alone. Alright? And then if the coalition is of the format man and woman, then it's always better than being alone. Alright? Then among all these pairs, which one goes first? Which one goes next? It depends on this man's preference, right? Because remember, man has a preference list. I like this best, this next, and this next, right? Then they just order. Right? All these pairs, all these two-person coalition, according to the preference. Right? I look like woman one, better than woman two, better than woman three. And then this man with woman one will appear first, right? And this man with woman two, next. This man, woman three, next, right? Okay? So you see that then you can specify an order for the coalitions, right? This man can belong to. Now, it's just a special case of coalition game, right? Okay? Well, that's nice, right? Okay, so what is stable matching? Stable matching is just defining a core in this hedonic game. Now remember, earlier we say hedonic game in general may not have a core, right? But for this special setting, it has a core. Alright? Now we'll know very soon. But before we show stable matching really exists, we'll first show something which is even more challenging to deal with. And this is something that also has an interesting name. It's called stable roommate problem. Okay? Now what's this problem? Now this problem, stable roommate. You have two N people. You have N dormitories. Okay? And then I want to assign room to pairs. Okay? Two people, one room. Two people, one room. Just like here, right? I remember here is also two students, one room, right? Have a share one room. Okay, so now the problem is, can you assign the roommate in such a way that the solution is stable? Now what's the difference between this problem and the stable matching problem? What's the main difference? You have no restriction about which two people you can assign, right? In the stable matching, you can assign, you can only do one man and one woman, right? But here you can do two men, two women, everything is possible. Okay, so that's the difference. And then here I'm showing you one example. In this example, Adam liked the four people, Adam, Bob, Chris, Dan, and then Adam liked me, Bob, the most. And then Chris, and then Dan, right? Okay, everyone has a preference order. Now, of course, my answer is just next to it, but I hope you still can spend some time, maybe 1 to 2 minutes, figuring out whether you have a stable solution. You have tried something, right? And now the first question: how many different assignments can you have for this problem? Yeah, three. Very good. Okay, because you have four people, you group two together, right? Or one, two together, or one, three together, or one, four together. Only three choices, right? So the other two would be another room. So basically, only three choices. Now, for these three choices, which I show you here. Right? The first one, D, A, B, C. D, A, B, C is good. D, A, B, A is very good for D, right? D, the C is very good for D. Okay, they like the option a lot, right? D, A, B, C. They are good. How about these two? D, A, B, C. A is assigned to last choice. C is assigned to this choice, right? Okay? And then A and C says, okay, why not we group together? The C has A, which is top choice, and A has C, which is second last choice. Better, right? So in this case, A and C, they are not happy. They are going to go off to do another room, right? Okay? Now, how about D, B, A, C? So D, B, A, C. D, B, A, C, you see, B is the last choice, D, right? Okay? And A, C. A is assigned to C. Okay? And then A and B said, okay, if A is matched to B, better, right? B is matched to A, also better. So in this case, AB will be unstable, right? Because they are matched, they get better partner compared to the current assignment. And then finally, DCAB. So DCAB here, right? D with C, last choice. You can guess D will deviate, okay? Probably, okay? DCAB. AB, okay? AB. Now, who can deviate? So, of course, here it's written BC can deviate, right? So, can D deviate? Because D is matched to C. Seems that D is very unhappy, right? So, can D drag somebody to deviate? Can D deviate with B? No, because B is assigned A, but B hates D, right? No way. Okay? Can D deviate with A? Again, no, because A also does not like D, right? So although D is assigned last choice, D will not deviate, but BC will deviate. Why? So BC, you see, B is assigned to A now. If he chooses C, it's better, right? C is currently assigned to D, and then if he chooses B, it's better, right? Okay? So, you see, no matter which combination we choose, there is always one pair, at least, who will deviate, right? They can find each other better partner compared to the current assignment. Therefore, stable root name problem may not have a stable solution, right? Now you see, stable root name problem and stable matching problem, they're very similar. The only difference is stable matching has a more constrained requirement. It says you can only match people on the left with people on the right. You cannot match people inside, right? So with this restriction, we are able to find the stable solution for stable matching, okay? And then what's that solution? Well, the solution is called Gale-Shapley deferred acceptance algorithm, right? Now what's this Shapley? The same Shapley as Shapley value, okay? So that's why, that's not only these two, okay? So actually Shapley has more contribution in economics. Can he win the Nobel Prize in economics? Okay, so what's this algorithm? So this algorithm, actually, it's quite easy, all right? Basically, the algorithm collects input, every man's preference, okay? I collect all these things. And then, every time I find one man who is not yet matched to someone, all right? I find one such man and ask him, could you please propose to the top choice who you never proposed before? Okay, what does it mean? It means that, okay, man's like this, right? Okay, and then the first choice. So ask him, can you propose to the first choice? The man says, okay, no, because I already proposed to her before. She rejects me, all right? And then I'll say, okay, no problem, all right? Because you already proposed the first choice, and can you propose second choice this time? Say, oh yes, I didn't propose to second choice yet. I proposed to second choice. Alright? So man will just propose to the first woman on the list he didn't propose yet in the previous rounds. Okay? It's easy to understand, right? Every round I pick one man who is not matched and ask him to propose to the top choice in the list who he didn't propose yet. Okay? And then, this is man's side. How about woman's side? Woman's side is even easier, right? Whenever a woman receives a proposal, she will see whether she currently has some potential man who she already who she already tentatively accepted, okay? If not, then this woman will accept the proposal for the moment, okay? Okay, because currently I didn't commit to anyone, so as long as there's some new proposal to me, I will accept the proposal for the moment. Remember, it's for the moment. That's also why we have a word, defer acceptance. Defer just means when the moment to accept the proposal, it's only tentatively accepted. Later on, it can be changed. Okay? So this is when the woman is not matched. Okay, before. This is when the woman didn't have any tentatively accepted man yet, right? But it could also be the case that this woman already tentatively accepted some man in the previous rounds. And then, when she receives a new proposal, what would she do? So she would say, let me compare. Alright? Is this new one better than my previous one? If no, reject, right? Why bother dealing with this? Because the new one is worse than the previous one, then reject the proposal, right? But if the new one is better than the previous one, then the woman says, okay, I will accept the new one. And then tell the previous one, you are rejected. Okay? So this is a deferred rejects, right? Okay? So I reject the earlier one, which is not as good as the new one. Alright? So the woman replaces her tentatively accepted man. Alright? Okay, this is the whole algorithm. It's very easy, two sides, right? One side, whenever there's some man unmatched and has not proposed to every woman, you just ask him to propose at the top of his list, right? Then this man has not yet proposed. Okay? The man chooses the top candidate. And if the woman is unmatched, you just match this man and woman. If the woman is already matched, and then the woman just compare the new person and to this old person, right? If new better than old, remove the old pair and the new pair, right? Okay, this is exactly what I told you before, right? If the woman find a new partner better than the old partner, replace, right? Okay, otherwise you just reject the man, right? Just reject the proposal. Okay, this is the whole about Gail Shapley algorithm. So, sounds very easy, right? The only thing that is not so trivial is that women will defer accept. It will postpone the final decision to the end, right? Anything happening in the middle is only tentatively accepting, right? Only after the algorithm finishes, then the woman finalizes the partner, right? But also, although we say it's some kind of trick, but this trick is not so unexpected. It's a very natural policy that can be adopted by a woman, right? So as long as you allow the woman to only commit after the algorithm, right? And then very natural for the woman to upgrade her offer one by one, right? Gradually. Okay? So now let's analyze the running time of this algorithm. How long does it need to run? Now there are some observations. One is, men will propose to women in the decreasing order of preference. This one has nothing to do with or does not help us with running time. It still helps a bit, okay? Now, second observation, once a woman is matched, she will never become unmatched. Right? What does it mean? As long as a woman is matched to some man, the only thing that may happen in the future is she upgrades the partner to a better one, right? But only upgrades. Never, he will never say, oh, at some point, I decide to give up this partner, right? Without new proposal. Oh, that's too risky. I never do that, okay? So, the proposition one will help you to prove that the algorithm will terminate at most n square iterations. After so many iterations. Why? See, man proposed to woman, right? How many proposals this man will ever issue or ever raise? Only n woman, right? So the man can only propose for n times, right? Then also we do not allow the man to propose to the same woman again. So only new proposals are allowed, right? Okay, so every man can propose n times. How many men? N men, right? So altogether, n squared possible proposals, right? Now every proposal is very easy to handle, right? Every proposal, so many proposals. And at every proposal, what do you do? Woman decide, right, whether she accepts this proposal or not, right? How does she decide? Checking whether this new one is better than the old one, right? It's just one comparison. Okay? That's very easy. So altogether, you just need n squared time, right? So n squared time done. on this dimension. Alright? Okay. So this is about running time. So that means this algorithm is good. Right? It can be finished in polynomial time. Right? Yeah. Very nice. Now, what can this Dilshambli algorithm give you? Well, it will give you a perfect matching. Well, how to prove it? It means in the end, all the men and women are matched. Yeah, because as long as every man and woman are matched, there is a perfect matching, right? Okay? Why is it true? And then you'll see, it's very difficult for me to prove this because I don't know how to show it. So whenever you feel a bit confused to show something, usually we'll try proof by what? Reverse or contradiction, right? So assume this is not true. If this is not true, what does it mean? Somebody, right? Somebody is unmatched, right? So somebody is unmatched. So let's just assume that some man is unmatched, right? If this man is unmatched, then what can you say? Now, one very obvious thing is, if some man is unmatched, there must be some woman also unmatched, right? Because the same number of men and women, right? Okay? Alright? So they are unmatched. Now what's next? So then you say, this man, right? At some point of the algorithm, must have proposed to this woman specifically. Right? Because men must finish all the proposals before the algorithm can finish, right? Okay, so this man must have proposed to this woman at some point on the algorithm. But why this woman is unmatched? Seems very strange, right? So, it must be the case that the woman rejects the man, right? Because if the woman didn't reject the man, then they are matched. So, since they are unmatched, that means this woman rejects this man. But why will this woman reject the man? Yeah, she's a better partner, right? Better partner this man, so we reject the man, right? Okay? But remember, once the woman, what? Is matched. She always keeps matched, right? Okay? Is this a contradiction? Yes, right? Because we say, this man proposed to the woman, but now they are both unmatched, then this woman must have rejected the man, right? Then the rejecting the man means this woman at that time has a better partner, right? Has a better partner. So that means this woman at that time is matched. Right? Matched to somebody. But we have observation 2. Observation 2 says once a woman is matched, she always is matched. This is a contradiction. Right? And that's the end of the proof. Is it okay? Good. Very nice. Okay. So now, this is the first thing, right? This is about the perfect matching. And now we are going to show this algorithm gives you a stable matching. That's a bit more challenging, right? How do you show it is stable? Now, let's see. Okay. Alright. We prove by contradiction. Say, let's assume the solution is not stable. Then there must be one unstable pair, right? Okay, so MW is not in S, but they like each other more, right? Okay, so can this happen? So there are two cases here. The first case, this M never proposes to W. M didn't propose to W. What does it mean? It means that this W is very low in this man's preference list. When the algorithm finishes, this man didn't propose to the woman. That means this man is matched to somebody who is better than this woman, right? Okay? So if that's the case, will this man like this woman better? No, right? Because he is matched to somebody better than this woman. So it's not possible this woman likes the woman. It's not possible that this man likes this woman better. Right? Because it didn't propose to the woman, right? Okay? Well, so in this case, it's not possible that M likes W better than his partner, I guess. Right? Okay? So then it will not be unstable. Right? This MW is not unstable. How about second case? Second case is M proposes to W. But eventually, this pair didn't show up in the solution. Then what must be the case? Yeah, very good, okay. So M proposed to W. But this W didn't finally choose M. That means she chooses somebody better, right? Okay? So that means in the final matching, this woman is matched to somebody better than this M, this man, right? So it's not possible that the woman likes this man better than her current partner. That's not possible, right? Okay. So in this case, it's also easy. Right? So in this case, woman is stable. Woman side is stable because woman likes her current partner better than M, right? Okay. Did we complete the proof? Yes, right. We show that in most cases, there is one direction which is stable. Then, that means this arbitrary pair, MW, will not be an unstable pair, right? Okay, well, nice. Okay. Now we finish the proof of stability, right? As I told you earlier, right, this is a Nobel Prize winning problem, right? And then the theorem says this algorithm will terminate after n squared iterations, and it will find you a stable matching, no matter what problem instance you give me, right? And then in the history, it's first proposed by David Gale and Lloyd Shapley. Okay, and then it's published about 60 years ago. And then they win the So Shapley and Ross win the Nobel Prize in 2012. Okay, so not both, right? Not both. One. Okay, because Shapley has more contributions, right? Not only this one. This one is very important. But not all. Okay. Yeah, so I think that we will leave the extensions to the next session, but I would like to leave one question to you to think about. Alright? We know Gale-Shapley algorithm will give you a stable matching. Now I'm asking you, this stable matching, is it better for men or better for women? And now I will vote. Who think better than men? Better for men, raise your hand. One. Two. Who thinks better for women? Raise your hand. And I see more hands. Okay? So take some time to think about it, and then we'll announce the results in the third hour. Right? We'll spend a big portion.